Go 1.27 drop today with 667 points and 198 comments, and this is a release that the Go community had been watching for a few specific features. The most discussed is the work on the garbage collector. Go 1.27 includes changes to the GC's pacing algorithm that address long-standing complaints about latency spikes in high-throughput services. The old algorithm had a feedback loop that could cause GC to trigger too aggressively under certain allocation patterns, leading to throughput cliffs. The new approach is more conservative in its heap growth assumptions.
The other thing getting a lot of attention in the comments is improvements to the toolchain around workspace mode. Go workspaces were introduced a few releases back to make multi-module development less painful. And 1.27 apparently smooths out several rough edges that people hit in practice. There's also some movement on the generics ergonomics side, though Go has historically been very conservative about expanding the generics feature set, so the changes are incremental.
What I find notable about the Go 1.27 release is what it signals about the language's trajectory. Go has always prioritized operational simplicity and compile time speed over expressive power, and 1.27 continues that. The GC improvements are the kind of unglamorous work that makes real production systems more reliable, not a feature you'd put in a marketing blog post, but exactly what teams running Go at scale have been asking for. The 8chan thread has a useful ratio of people who use Go professionally to people with opinions about Go, leaning heavily toward the former, which makes the discussion more grounded.
The FX coding agent, tiny open native coding agent at FX. SH has 282 points and 118 comments, and it's interesting as a contrast to the more enterprise-focused agentic tooling. The project positions itself as minimal, no cloud dependency, runs natively, small footprint. The tiny framing is doing a lot of work in the pitch, because the coding agent space has trended toward increasingly complex, heavyweight systems. There's clearly an audience for something that stays out of the way.
One CLI from YCS26 is in adjacent territory, an open-source sandboxed agent harness built for teams rather than individual developers. The sandbox framing is doing the security work that the don't pace the AI discussion calls for at a policy level, but at a technical level. If agents run in a controlled sandbox with defined permissions, the what is the agent allowed to do question has an enforcement mechanism rather than just a cultural norm.
The PostgreSQL story. PostgreSQL for everything, with 382 points and 226 comments, is a philosophical piece as much as a technical one. The author argues that Postgres is underutilized as a platform. People reach for Redis for caching, RabbitMQ for message queuing, and various specialized tools for full-text search. When Postgres can do all of these things adequately, and the simplicity of maintaining one system is worth more than the performance gains from specialization, at least until you hit serious scale.
This is an argument that comes up periodically in the HN community and always generates strong opinions because it touches on a genuine engineering trade-off. The Postgres for everything advocates are making a total cost of ownership argument. Fewer moving parts, one consistent backup strategy, one authentication model, one place to look when something goes wrong. The skeptics argue that adequate is a weasel word that breaks down exactly when you need it not to, and that building your system around a lowest common denominator tool creates technical debt that's expensive to pay down later.
What's interesting about the comment distribution is that the strongest Postgres for everything advocates tend to be at smaller companies or on small teams, while the strongest critics tend to have experience at scale, which suggests the argument might actually be right at one scale and wrong at another. Not a flaw in the reasoning, but a genuine context dependency that both sides sometimes treat as settled. This feels like a natural moment to bring in some background on something the PostgreSQL discussion brushes up against, the question of market dominance, and whether being the tool everyone reaches for creates its own kind of risk. And that's actually a useful lens for thinking about antitrust law, which keeps coming up in tech contexts.
Go ahead, because this connects to the open router story too, and I want to make sure we set that up properly.
So antitrust law in the United States is built primarily on the Sherman Act of 1890, two core sections. Section 1 prohibits anti-competitive agreements, and Section 2 prohibits monopolization. The key thing people misunderstand is that having a monopoly isn't itself illegal. The law prohibits the act of monopolizing, using exclusionary conduct to acquire or maintain market power. So if Postgres became the dominant database tool because it's genuinely better and engineers chose it freely, that's fine under antitrust law. Where it would become a legal concern is if a company controlling Postgres used that dominant position to exclude competitors through means other than competing on the merits.
And market is doing a lot of definitional work in these cases. Courts have to define the relevant market before they can measure market share, and defining the market is often where antitrust cases are won or lost. Is the relevant market relational databases, general purpose databases, data infrastructure? A company with 90% of a narrowly defined market might have 15% of a broader one. The Microsoft browser case in the late 90s turned substantially on whether the relevant market was PC operating systems, where Microsoft clearly dominated, or something broader where their position looked less absolute.
Right, and that definitional question is exactly why market share alone isn't enough, as you hear lawyers say. The legal test under Section 2 requires showing both monopoly power in a relevant market and willful acquisition or maintenance of that power through exclusionary conduct. Vigorous competition, even competition that drives rivals out of business, is not monopolization. Which is why antitrust cases take years, and why the outcomes are rarely as clean as the headlines suggest.